talking this morning with Denny Perry, one of the co-authors of the new biography, Roger Maris, Baseball's Reluctant Hero, and we're happy that he has some time to chat with us today. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the book.
Very excited that it's out. I spent 2 years doing this. I don't know if anything's a labor of love after 2 years, but it's very exciting that it's finally out there.
Okay, but why this book at this time? I mean, it's not the anniversary of, next year would be the anniversary.
Well, this is actually his 50th anniversary of being a Yankee.
Ah, okay.
1960, and then, of course, 61. I guess the paperback is already, we don't like to talk about the paperback because the hardback's just out, but paperback will be out the 50th year of 1961, which is, of course, the year he broke the record.
Well, that's good planning.
Yeah, I wanted to do this book for many years, so finally it came together, and I wasn't thinking anniversaries or anything, but it sort of falls into place, and also all this attention that it's Roger Maris is getting because of Mark McGwire.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because this year there are biographies out on some of the real heroes of the baby boomer generation. There's the Maris book, there's a new book about Willie Mays, a new book about Hank Aaron, and one on Mickey Mantle, not to mention some of the other stars who are not in the New York sphere of influence, like Frank Robinson and Al Kaline. Do you think that's like in response to all the current steroid and performance-enhancing drug situations?
Well, I don't think any of those people are. Those are people who are always in the spotlight. Hank Aaron, I'm really glad there's a Hank Aaron biography. It's really overdue. It's a different type of Willie Mays bio, which is authorized by Willie Mays, so there's a lot of excitement over that. I think Maris is a little different than these guys because his name sort of faded out, and I've gotten a lot of responses with people saying it's about time. It's about time, and there's a Roger Maris, what we hope is the definitive biography. Just people, over the years, I said that I'd wanted to do a Maris book for a while, and I kept waiting for somebody else to do it. And at the time I was ready to begin, I called the Hall of Fame and say, is anybody doing research on this? And they weren't exactly sure. Somebody at one point had gone up there to do it, because I didn't want to do a spend 2 years on a book and have another Roger Maris book come out a month before before mine. And so we contacted the family, and they said nobody else was doing it. Or maybe somebody had inquired at one point, and they rejected him. So it left the door open and the opportunity open. And so now we have a Roger Maris book.
Now, you worked on this with Tom Calvin.
Clavin. His name's Clavin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
C-L-A-V-I-N. Yes, yes. You can call him anything. I'm just, you know, one correction.
What was the division of labor on this?
Well, we both did a lot of interviews. I have more of a sports background, and I had a lot of connections with former ball players. So I generally did most, but not all of the interviews with old ball players. Tom is a Yankee fan. I'm not a Yankee fan, so he ended up doing a lot of the Yankees who played with Maris. Now Tom's has done a lot of books, but he's also a newspaper writer. So he's a guy who likes to write every day. Sit down every morning at a computer and just churn out stuff. So basically our division was he would get it all down on paper, and I would revise it. I guess that's the word. And then we go back and forth that way. But he's the guy who got it down on the paper. I did probably of the 130 interviews, probably 90 of them. So that was kind of our division.
Now
we both went out to Fargo, and we both did a few trips. So it was, we both were very busy.
Now, you mentioned that you were a Maris fan for a long time. Was there something you found in your research that really surprised you about him?
Well, One of the things we tried to do in this book was find out the answer. It wasn't an answer. Bob Casas began one of the documentaries that ESPN did on Roger Maris back in the late 1990s, probably came out in 1998, and he opened up the documentary by saying Roger Maris was the most ill-equipped person to deal with celebrity. And I think our starting point was, why was he so ill-equipped to deal with celebrity? And part of the thing is, he wasn't just dealing with celebrity when he hit the 61 home runs, but he was dealing with celebrity at a time that the reporters became completely negative. They changed after all those years of sports writing, and they now saw that negativity could sell papers as well as more than positive stuff in regard to star players, and they went after Maris. But why was Maris so ill-equipped? And I guess the two things we thought of were that everybody would know is he was shy, and he was a Midwesterner who was really a private person, which is most Midwesterners, and they don't like to talk about themselves or family or whatever. And although he was more to the extreme, but the things, I guess, what you said surprised me were the other reasons, and it had to do with family again. And it was secrecy in regard to his family that dated back to before he was born. Just both sides, his maternal and paternal sides, there are all these secrets about family feuds and grudges and dysfunction and drinking and carousing. And within his own family, I'd heard rumors that his father was a drinker and a fighter and cheated on his Roger's mother. And the truth was, he was a drinker, he was a fighter, but it was his mother who had boyfriends. And from an early time when Roger was just a little kid, Roger and his one-year-old brother Rudy Jr. were little kids, so his mother had already sort of distanced herself from Roger's father, from the boy's father, and this never changed. They were Catholics, so they married, I think, in 1932, and they finally divorced in 1960 and told Roger at the World Series, that Roger was in his first World Series, hey, we're getting divorced.
Yeah, that's timing.
Yeah, great timing. And so they didn't get along all those years. And his mother, his father kept moving, who worked with Great Northern Railroad, moved the family from, originally they lived in, we won't call it a suburb, it was called a mining location outside of Hibbing, Minnesota, and Roger's mother had a boyfriend, and his father got a transfer to Grand Forks, and to get away from this guy that his mother was seeing. So she moved, and then she got another boyfriend there, and then they moved to Fargo, and she had more boyfriends there. But this was all secret stuff. So this was part of why Roger would never want to talk about the family, and it was just ingrained in him. But the real surprise, even more than this, what had to do with the brother I was talking about, and why Roger would never want to talk about himself and toot his own horn, is that he had a one-year-old brother who was considered the great athlete in the family. And to this day, when I would talk to people, they would say, well, did you know that Rudy Jr. was a better player than Roger, a better baseball player, a better football player? And I said, no, but did you see them play? And they'd say, no. Well, I heard that they were.
Yes.
And over and over and over again, you'd hear this, because his father used to brag about how he would, even when Roger was hitting 61 home runs, his father would say, well, Rudy Jr. was even a better player than Roger. And Roger would always say, well, I couldn't even carry his glove.
Wow.
But what happened is, right before Rudy Jr. embarked on his professional career when Roger would be in his shadow. He got polio, and that sort of dashed his dreams and put the family burden on Roger to become the great athlete. And so Roger went ahead and all of a sudden had all this fame and success and whatever. He was always guilt-ridden that he was having the career that was intended for his brother. So he never bragged, and he never, you know, even as a high school senior, when his brother got the polio, he never wanted to talk about himself being a great athlete, because he always felt that his brother would have been even better, which I say is, you know, bunk. That even in high school, when they played together as a football, on a football team, and they played American Legion baseball, Roger was the one who was getting the accolades. He had surpassed his brother even then, but he never admitted it. But this kept him from talking all these years. He was just very, he felt guilty, and he just never wanted to take the credit that he felt was really intended for his brother. That I think is the big surprise.